Welcome to Red Sox Digest, the only show where pain, sarcasm, and a dash of hope collide nightly like a Trevor Story strikeout. We cover every loss, every meltdown, and yes, even the rare win with brutally honest takes and zero front office fluff. Subscribe today at RedSoxDigest.com or risk being left out in the cold like a home game in April. And now, here's the crew at Red Sox Digest.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Red Sox Digest, the podcast that treats Red Sox heartbreak with sarcasm, spreadsheets, and questionable audio levels. My name is Jim Delfino, and I am your host for this evening. I am joined tonight by two absolute legends, Nick Face, who still believes the ghost of Dustin Pedroia can fix our infield, and I'm also joined by Thayer Doyle, and combined, the two of us are older than the first Red Sox World Series drought. With all that said, let's get into it. Nick, how are you doing tonight?
Let's party! My goodness, was that awesome. That is the best win of the season right now. Red Sox walk it off with a Sedane Rafaela launch ball right over the Green Monster against bug-out eyes, Pete Fairbanks. I don't think those eyes are coming out of that socket anymore from him. That was awesome. That is what we wanted to start this season. This is what we hoped this team would do. Eight straight, guys. This team was dead. 4-3 coming into the ninth. It was a great at-bat, too, from Marcelo Meyer, who got robbed to start the inning. It should have been a base hit. And then Roman Anthony pinched hit, got the walk. Great at-bat. Got right down to first base. And who's hotter than Sedane Rafaela? Who is hotter than him? I love what we have seen from him. He has made every difference in the world to this team. His approach at the plate is spectacular. What a talent he is. Oh, I'm amped.
Fair, your opening reactions.
I'm flabbergasted. Absolutely flabbergasted. And to Nick's point, outstanding at-bats in the ninth inning, but to credit the whole team, they handled the injury from Dobbins early on. The bullpen came through, did a very nice job. We did have the errors in the pass balls. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. But the at-bats throughout the game have really been a difference, not only today, but for the last 3 or 4 weeks. They're putting the ball in play. They're cutting down their swings. They're going the other way. Trevor Story, I love what he's doing, you know, the power that he's producing, but the fact that he is taking that wide open right side of the infield for base hits left and right.
Absolutely.
We talk about him being a leader. I think he's showing these other kids what to do. Marcelo Meyer, he's going the other way. Anthony has been going the other way. They all are taking the proper approach, and it's a team-wide win. Outstanding. I didn't think they had it in them. I was ready to write them off. You know, I wrote that column about what we need to do to make them better. I gave the option of what we could do to make them better this year simply because I had to. I didn't expect it to be a need, but this is something different.
This reminds me of some of those wins back in 13, 18, 04, 07, the championship season.
Calm down.
I know. but you know what? They were relentless those years, right?
Yes.
They didn't get themselves into a situation like earlier in this season where they were out of the ball game by the fifth inning, you know, and obviously we'll talk about the errors later on today. But, you know, you had quality at-bats. They only had 4 strikeouts on the night, which was really impressive. So they're getting the ball in play. You know, Toro made an out. He grounded out the second, moved runners over. Those are the kind of things that you want to see. Productive outs, get runners in, score on an out, move runners over. That's what's important, and that's going to win ball games. I love scrappy play. I mean, everybody loves home runs. They're beautiful to watch. But when you can get doubles and you can drive in runners and get sacrifice flies and just do all the intangibles, that's what really makes an impressive ball game and a fun ball game like you saw tonight. Starting off, what I want to get into before we go back into the offense. So Hunter Dobbins had his return tonight, and it was his first start back from an elbow strain. He lasted only 1 2/3 innings, and he exited with what appears to be right knee pain when he was covering first base. He allowed one earned run on 27 pitches, and he looked kind of uncomfortable throughout the outing. With a IL stint probably likely in this situation, and we don't know, obviously there is the All-Star break coming up next week, but does this fast-track Tanner Houck back into the rotation? Thayer, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on Dobbins and what it could mean to the rotation? And where do we go from here for this rotation moving forward?
Absolutely. First, we never want to see an injury. However, if it's going to happen 2 days before the All-Star break, I think the team will be able to handle it for a while. I do think Houck is probably the leader in the clubhouse to fill his spot, with Harrison possibly being the other option. I think for the next week or so, both of them are still down in Worcester. It's probably going to be a battle between the two of them to see who pitches the best. I don't think Houck has been all that effective in Worcester. I haven't followed it too much, but I think he would be probably the first choice for the organization to get it done. But thankfully, we do have some time. Right now, you know, with the way it's going to be set up with the All-Star break, he's your fifth starter. Right now, the fifth starter is the person you're not going to have to worry about him until sometime probably Tuesday, you know, two Tuesdays from now. So we have some time to figure it out. We have some time to fix that sort of situation. And heck, maybe it's a certain pitcher in Minnesota who is pitching today. He might be ready to go if they decide to make a move.
Yeah, we'll discuss that a little later on today. Nick Face, I want to get your reaction. Same question. Hunter Dobbins down. Are you concerned? What is your way to fix that quickly? I know where you're going to go with it, but I'd like to hear you out.
I think we need to find out a little bit more information. I don't think Cora's going to give out too much during his post-game press conference on what the next step is here for Dobbins. I think they're going to check it out, see what's going on with the knee. Could tonight coming out of the game be more precautionary? That could be the case here. I will back on Thayer's also point here is this is the most prime time for a fifth starter of sorts to go down. You're not going to need that fifth starter for quite some time right now. This might not even need to be a DL stint until we know more information. Richard Fitch just went down to Worcester. There is one option that definitely is in a person that could slot in right there. And then, of course, Tanner Houck. And now I'm looking at Tanner Houck as more of a bullpen piece, not as a starter. I don't know what the Red Sox philosophy here is going to be with where they want Houck to go. But let's not forget, when Houck started this season, it was a disaster. He was worse than Walker Buehler, 100%. And they kind of put this IL stint together for Tanner Houck because he was just that bad. I think they just wanted him to go away. So was he really hurt? Was he not? Was he mechanically not right? Was he mentally not right? That would be more of my guess on why he went in witness protection program for, 2 months? Something like that. I don't really know yet on what they're going to do with Kyle Harrison. I know you said that might be one of the options. I have not liked anything that he's done in Worcester so far to say that he's ready to come up here and do something here for this team. Could he come up here and be okay? Sure. Does he have a little bit of a track record? I would say a little bit in the National League with San Francisco. I do think, though, on this depth chart, I do think that they're going to look at Richard Fitz first, then Tanner Houck, depending upon the role. I think if Houck is going to come back and the Red Sox want him as a starter, I think that's probably going to be number one option. Then it's Richard Fitz. Then I think they look at Kyle Harrison and then try and figure out what happens with the trading and everything here. But right now, I got to tell you guys, I don't really know if I want to pull off a trade to get rid of one of the outfielders right now. If we're going to get a Joe Ryan type, and we talked about this on the previous pod, I'm more inclined to do a Christian Campbell or something of a Richard Fitz type or other pieces that are in Worcester. I kind of like this, how it's going right now. I know it's a little bit of a log jam, but I like it.
You know, you can never have enough good guys. That's obviously the situation. You know, getting back to this situation with Dobbins, you know, to both your points, he is their number five starter. We can't really worry until we have to worry. And I don't know how much that worry is because, again, he is your fifth starter. the simplest thing is just to plug Richard Fitz into that. And quite frankly, that doesn't bother me so much. I mean, his last outing was fine. You know, I think he was just the victim of, you know, having an option so that they brought him down to kind of just move things around a little bit. And who knows, Dobbins, this outing without Dobbins today could have been a showcase. We don't know. I mean, we don't know what the trade deadline acquisitions or what's been talked about any more than we did last week. So there could be something to that as well. We don't know. But until we really have to worry about it, we will. Moving right along, I want to talk about, you know, pretty much the early part of the game. We had some sloppy baseball this the earlier in the game. And the defense coughed up one error, two wild pitches, and the Rays wound up scoring two runs. And it looks like it was going to hold up until that ninth inning. And I was actually going to be talking about that tonight, that we lose because of sloppy play and errors. And this is what the Red Sox tended to do early on in April and May. It doesn't change the fact that they lead the major leagues in errors and their fundamentals are really poor. So starting with you, Nick, you know, explain to me what you saw, break it down in terms of, was this just a situation? I saw Thayer's talk in the, in our chat, and he brought up some really good points, but just for you first, what did you see? And, you know, what were you thinking when those plays happened?
Well, the biggest thing I was thinking when that ninth inning was I was saying to myself, boy, those pass balls didn't happen. We could have had a game here. I just think it was mental more than anything. I am worried a little bit here with the catching. Carlos Navarez has been awesome. Don't get me wrong. But we don't have a backup catcher. Carlos Navarez has another second half here to go. And I just think that he needs it's fatigue. I'd put a fatigued Carlos Navarez behind the dish every day if I have to choose over Connor Wong. But this team doesn't have anything. We don't even have any depth right now in Worcester that's like, okay, we're just going to put this guy up here and we'll be fine. We don't. That's the biggest thing right there. Red Sox got very lucky, too, with Bernardino. He kept him in the game. I will say, with giving this team length, I did not expect that from Bernardino. But it comes with the territory here. We know what Bernardino's going to do. He's like a one-trick pony. You know exactly what you're going to get every time he's out there. He could be wild. He could be erratic. He could go all over the place. And then he could give you length like he did tonight. I don't know why Alex Cora does this with Bernardino. It drives me crazy. I hate it. But you know what, guys? Got the job done tonight. And you don't really have to deal with him the next 2 days, basically, because he's already given you, what are you, through 2 2/3 innings or something like that? He ain't coming back tomorrow. He won't be there Sunday. Then you got Crochet and Bale going. Good things happen right now. Good things are happening.
Yeah, Bernardino, 2 1/3 innings, actually, Nick. One hit,
yep.
One walk, 2 strikeouts, 35 pitches, 27 for strikes. It was a really good outing. It was back to being kind of like retro or, you know, classic Bernardino there. Weiser, 1 inning, 1 hit, 1 K. Same thing for Wilson, identical. And then Hicks came in, and he was okay, too. He got a strike, you know, 11 pitches, 8 for strikes. Thayer, same question to you as it relates to the errors that you saw. You had a lot of comments as it relates to robo-umpiring in the chat today, so I figured you're probably going to want to discuss that for us.
Yeah, we'll start with the error at first base. We talked a lot about this earlier in the season. I think with Bregman coming back, Story at short, and with Meyer solidifying second base, I think the infield defense is going to be much better. The issue still is first base. It's been an issue since Dalbach was around. They don't know how to play first base. The error on the play was egregious. Even on the diving play by Mayer later on in the game, Toro just wasn't in the right position at first base, and he had to lunge for the ball. Thankfully, he kept his foot on the base. But they just don't have the appropriate footwork and understanding of first base. And I think that's going to be an issue moving forward. I don't know if there's a way to solve that. That's just going to be something we're going to have to deal with. But I think overall the defense for the rest of the infield is going to be fine. I think the outfield defense, especially with Sedan in center field, you're going to have Abreu in right field more times than not, and Anthony and Duran in left field, they'll be fine. But really what it comes down to, that catching piece that we were talking about, I tend to be a traditionalist. The new knee down catching with sort of framing strikes, it drives me crazy. It's an analytical thing, trying to get more strikes. They don't care about pass balls. They don't think about any of those things. Catchers can't block the ball anymore. Sort of being in that situation where he's just sort of sliding his arm to make the catch. They're just bringing it up to try to buy strikes. And the reason they have to buy strikes is because the pitching is terrible. You know, even the best pitchers are no longer capable of throwing strikes and hitting their spots. That's why they have to buy these strikes for their pitchers. That and the umpires, we saw that today. C.B. Buckner doing C.B. Buckner things with some of his calls. They're not all that good. Or was it Lance Diaz? Who was behind the plate today?
It was C.B. Buckner, 62-year-old C.B. Buckner behind the plate. Yeah.
So you're doing those sort of things. I don't like the idea of having robo-umpires, but simply to go back to catching the right way and blocking balls so they don't have to fool these people behind them, good gracious, please. Today.
Yeah, some great points there. I mean, I'm a traditionalist, so I do like umpire. I like the human element. I don't want to turn the game into just a video or a stat analytical sheet. And I'm just afraid that robo umpiring is going to create that. You know, it's going to just turn it into a video game, and it's going to be a point where we lose more and more of the intangibles. And frankly, sometimes those things that go right or go wrong for us gives us talking points, you know, something to scream about, something to, you know, cheer about and so forth. So I don't want to really lose that element. You know, I had to kind of like, you know, accept the challenges. I know we've got that in a lot of other sports. I don't tend to mind that too much. And the pitch clock, I think, is just fine. But the robo umpiring, I think, is going to bother me just a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see really where that goes. But I understand your point in it. Is that you lose kind of the ability to just be a catcher, and it all comes back to framing and, like you said, trying to buy strikes for your pitchers. I think some of that has been around for a long time. I mean, you look at guys like, you know, Veritek, for example, Sandy Leone, you know, some of the guys that, you know, that were really good catchers over the years, but it wasn't to this degree anymore. And that's just one of the things. I don't know if it's just that the umpires got to get better at their jobs. I don't know what it is, but, you know, maybe that's the answer. You know, I don't know. Maybe get that's them, maybe get them to be a little bit better with their job. I mean, that would certainly, you know, solve a lot of problems. Or, you know, when you've got guys like Buckner and some of the other ones that have been around forever, you know, and they haven't been very good at their jobs, maybe they need to get on some kind of suspension or something like that until, you know, they realize what they did wrong or whatnot. But again, there's a human element to that, so I don't know how that goes. Moving right along, Marcelo Meyer. So he drove in a run, had a double, and scored, contributing to two of Boston's three runs. He has seen his glove now at third and second, so he does have some versatility there. What are your thoughts? Is he going to be the second baseman moving forward? And when I say second baseman, I mean, is he going to be in 90 to 95% of these games? We're hearing some chatter now that Sidan Rafaela might see some time at second base. My take on that is this. While it's great to get as many offensive forces in the game, and if you're going to put Rafaela at second base, I better have great outfield offense along with good solid defense if I'm going to move him in there. Is that the smart thing to do? Because I worry now that you're going to be seeing less good defense in center field by making that move. And we saw some of that happen last year when he had to fill in for Story. So Thayer, to you first, what's your thoughts on Mayer and what's your thoughts on, you know, even Rafaela being at second?
I'll start with Rafaela. No, period, the end. We saw last year when they were moving him around, he was not the same player offensively. He is in such a zone right now. He is comfortable. He is taking his at-bats the right way. Just please keep the man in center field. Allow him to get used to playing there, to be comfortable, and he's going to do what we saw today. I've been talking with you, Jim, for quite a while. And you know, sort of, you were going off on the 04, the 2013. Rafaela, at least right now, reminds me of 2014, 2015 Xander Bogaerts. Before he really started to develop power, when he came up with men in scoring position, he always moved the ball up the middle to the right side. Men on base, he was like clockwork to drive those guys in. And that's what we saw a lot of Rafaela doing last year, and he's doing this year. Prior to putting the ball over the wall for the walk-off, last night the big hit was a line drive up the middle into center field. Today, the big hit was a ball to the right side for a base hit. Please stop messing with this man. He is an outstanding center fielder. He is becoming a cog in your offensive wheel. Don't mess with him by bringing him in to play second base just because he can, and just because as a front office, you have neglected the ability to put a person who can play second base all the time. Now that'll bring me to Meyer. I think defensively, he can play every day. Will he? No. Because as good as his at-bats have been, he still struggles tremendously against left-handed pitchers in the major leagues. And he needs to develop that. But right now, we can't afford to allow him to struggle and develop at that position because we are in a pennant race. And they are sort of claiming it that they want to win. So he cannot play every day at second base and continue to go that route. Because unlike previous years where we had a lot of really talented professional major leaguers in that offense to carry it through, they don't. They have platoon guys. They have other young guys. They don't have the offensive weapons to carry someone who can't hit lefties. So I don't think he's going to be playing it. I think you're going to be seeing a lot of some sort of platoon with he and Romy, unfortunately.
Nick Face, same question to you.
I'm actually going to take it a step further. As Thayer said, I don't want to mess with Rafaela either, but I think it's going to come down to pure stubbornness from Cora and management. I think that's what this comes down to. Tomorrow, you will not see Alex Bregman in the lineup. I'm just letting you know right now. You will see Marcelo Meyer at third base. That's going to come down to what are we going to do tomorrow with second base? Well, you have a couple options. Option one is probably going to be Romy Gonzalez. Okay. Option two, you might see Rafaela if he's ready. And then it's a matter of who's going to play first base as well. Is tomorrow's starter for the Rays left-handed?
Right-handed.
No.
Right-handed. That gives you the knowing that it's probably going to be Toro Romy, Marcelo Meyer of sorts. You're probably not going to see, you're going to see more of the rotation again. So tonight, Roman Anthony was off. So Roman Anthony, you know he's in the lineup. Sedain absolutely is in the lineup. Duran's day is probably tomorrow. So it's one of those things where because of what you have with so many outfielders and injury, obviously, with Bregman, we don't want to see that re-injured. You're going to have to figure out ways of managing everybody here in the best way possible for the team. I don't love putting Rafaela at second base, and I'm really nervous about what this does mentally for him. I think he's tough enough, and he has plenty of grit and everything, and it'll be fine. But this guy is rolling right now. I would so much rather prefer Jarren Duran to play second base right now. I really would, but the team won't do it. I would rather mess with Duran than I would with Rafaela, just how it is. So I think we're going to see a lot of tinkering here, and it makes me very uneasy. That's my word of tonight, uneasy.
Love Red Sox Digest? And stop freeloading and subscribe already. Free subscribers get recaps, rants, and the occasional emotional breakdown, just like Craig Breslow with the trade deadline. Upgrade to a paid subscription and unlock the full archive. Subscriber-only game breakdowns, behind-the-scenes audio rants, exclusive mailbag Q&As, plus live chat and post-game streams where we scream into the void together. And if you're a true sicko, become a founding member and we'll put you on the podcast. That's right, a guest appearance on Red Sox Digest. Hit subscribe. It's cheaper than Fenway beer and way more satisfying.
And to your point, just real quick, Jim, with Crochet pitching tomorrow, he's not a ground ball pitcher. So the second baseman is not going to be that crucial defensively. He tends to be more of a fly ball strikeout pitcher. So Rafaela needs to stay in center field tomorrow.
So I don't like the Rafaela to second base rumors that I'm hearing. If anybody remembers me talking last year, many people were down on him offensively and wondering if he was even going to be a good offensive player at all. And the one thing I said over and over and over again, and I can be quoted on it, I don't worry about his offensive production last year. I said, it'll come. I said, but this poor kid is a rookie. He has to learn how to play shortstop, the tendencies of batters. Am I covering second? Are you covering second? In center field, again, a rookie, brand new in the league, trying to learn these players, the tendencies. Do I need to shade to right field, left field? All these different things are play acting during this situation when you are trying to learn and be good at two positions. The fact that he has been this season the center fielder and there's been no screwing around with him, I think you're seeing him becoming more comfortable because he knows he doesn't have to learn other positions, and the offensive production is coming through as a result of that. I don't think there's any other way to deny that. So if you're going to go ahead and start screwing around and Red Soxing these players, which the Red Sox love to do, you're going to see a problem. And if that hinders him offensively, we have no one to blame but Breslow and Cora. So I hope it doesn't happen. And I don't understand why it should happen, because if you're going to have Romy Gonzalez and Marcelo Mayer on this team, you have a left-handed and right-handed platoon second base option right then and there. So I don't understand the aura or the idea of doing that. The only way that it makes sense is because you're worried about getting Duran and Roman Anthony into that lineup, you know, in the outfield. Which brings me back to, here we go again with Masataka Yoshida. And I've said this since the beginning of the season. He's one of the cogs in this wheel. Forget about Devers. He was the one that was a problem. Because if Yoshida wasn't on this team, you more than well could rotate Anthony, Duran, and anybody else that you wanted. You know, Abreu, however you wanted to circumnavigate, you know, four outfielders for three spots, one with DH. But Yoshida offers nothing to you defensively. And I mean, he had a hit tonight, and that's all well and good, but he's really mucking things up that you're going to consider taking your best outfield weapon, you know, in from center and putting him into the infield. And this is all because of Yoshida. This, I don't think this comes up in a conversation. It does not even come up in a conversation if Yoshida's not on this team. That's my take on that. Moving right along on the bullpen. So after Dobbins was out for an injury, we had Ocala come in, Murphy was in, and then obviously we had an inning from 2 1/3 from Bernardino. Justin Wilson was in, Hicks was in, and so forth. Murphy got the win. He's looked really good since his return. Another inning, one strikeout, pitches, six for strikes. Still no ERA on the season. Quietly been very, very good. My question to both of you is, if this bullpen is going to be effective, do you want to go after pitching in this trade deadline, or do you want to focus on a hitter? Nick, face you first.
You can never have enough good pitching, Jim. You can never have enough. Yeah, pitching is definitely a difference maker right here. The Red Sox, in Red Sox ways, if they don't go out and get any pitching, I think I heard something Breslow said today, and it already started to stir the pot where, well, Tanner Houck's been down. He's coming. All these other guys that are there, don't worry. They're hurt, but they're coming back. We need another bona fide bullpen piece. We do. And you need to build upon that with Chapman. We have stated this ad nauseum here. Do not, under any circumstances, unless you are blown out of the water, get rid of Aroldis Chapman. If you get rid of Aroldis Chapman, you're done for your season. That's what
you're
that
not is. Serious. You're not serious.
You're not serious. You don't care. This is another punt season. I don't feel this is a punt right now. Things could change, but right now, this is the best this team has looked. I'm even going to say 4 years. I am. 22, 23, 24, and this is 2025. I think this is the longest winning streak that we've seen in years. This is a team right now that is worth investing in, finding pieces to get better, and seeing what's there. Obviously, it's a price to pay with what you're going to do. But pitching, yes. With Dobbins being down and figuring out what's going to go on there, you may need another piece. But maybe you don't, because maybe you do have enough starting depth. I think another horse in that bullpen makes a huge difference. I do. Like last night, we were a little worried tonight when we were talking, Nick Diamond, Jim and I, about because you threw Whitlock and because Chapman threw yesterday, tonight for us was going to be one of those games where the bullpen was going to get tested. And all of us said to ourselves and said here on air that we were nervous to see what's going to happen because the BC squad was coming in. And I don't mean the Boston College Eagles. I mean, your Bernardinos, your Justin Wilson types, your Jordan Hicks, who we haven't developed enough trust yet with. That was a worrisome spot for us. And tonight, they delivered. Can we count on this continually? The jury's still out on that. But what I will say, one of the guys that I do really like right now, and he's starting to get a little bit more high leverage situations, Chris Murphy. We talked about it last night. I like him. And in my depth chart for lefties outside of Chapman, I put Chris Murphy actually in my number one spot, then probably Wilson, then Bernardino. That's just how I'm kind of ranking it right now. And it's a small sample size to take, but I like the stuff that I see from Chris Murphy. The location looks on. The trust is there for me with Murphy.
Fair, same question to you. Do you go after pitching or are you looking for a hitter in this trade deadline?
I'm going to say both. And I'm going to say both because, one, we need to get that pitcher. I think we absolutely need to get a starting pitcher. That is, I'm going to say, Joe Ryan is the guy I want. And we always talk about trades. And I know, Nick, you're not necessarily for this. When you make a trade that is effective, it has to hurt. And Duran has to go. I think he is starting to raise his value again. We need to strike while the iron's hot because we're going to do the typical Red Sox thing, hold on to him too long, and his value is going to plummet. Something's going to happen. He's going to get hurt. He's going to pull a hamstring, and then he is absolutely no use to us whatsoever. He'll be another diminished asset that the Red Sox squandered away. So I think we need to make that move. We trade Duran, we trade a few other pieces, we bring in Joe Ryan, you might be able to pull a bullpen piece along with it, and then you can go out and find a right-handed bat. I would say to play first base, hopefully, but I wouldn't bet on that, so maybe another one, but we can't go for any offense until we remove some offense because we're just so close.
One of the things that concerns me, especially in the playoffs, and again, I've liked what Abraham Toro has meant to this team. I don't think any of us expected when Casas went down that we would get a journeyman player that would actually play better than Tristan Casas because he has. There's no debating that. I won't take any debate. He's been twice the player Tristan Casas has, and I'm no Tristan Casas fan, and everybody knows I can't stand the guy. And here, I wish Dave Dombrowski was still here because he would have been traded years ago. That being said, a play like tonight with the error that he made, how many times will that happen? In other words, I worry that if we don't have what I consider to be a bona fide first baseman, those types of things worry me in the playoffs, should you make into the playoffs. And so I worry that that's going to be a very costly thing against an opponent who is going to capitalize on those kinds of errors. Forget even the wild pitches. It's just any kind of mistake at first base. Therry mentioned about his coverage on the Marcelo play. You know, those are what worries me. And it's not his fault too much. Yeah. He was put into this position. I'm sure he's trying hard, and I'm sure they're trying to work with him to get better. But that's what you're trying to put a round peg in a square hole. So I just worry about that. So I am with you saying that I would like to see them acquire some sort of first baseman. Obviously, I don't want a backup. I would like someone more impact. I don't know if that guy exists. I know Josh Naylor's name has been rumored around. I don't think he's the right guy because he's left-handed. But, you know, look, as far as the trade deadline's concerned, I don't want to sell anymore. It's cool for a season, but I don't like to see it happen year in and year out. What are you going to do now? You're going to sell and get more prospects in this minor league system? How many more years do we have to rebuild for? You have an ace stud pitcher under a team-friendly deal, which, again, I'm surprised he even took that money, Garrett Crochet. Yeah. He could have gotten probably twice that on the open market, but that's a discussion for another day. And you have these young kids that have been jammed down our throats for three or four seasons. I don't want to sell anymore. I don't want to get prospects and hoard them. I want to win. I want to get into the playoffs, and I want to win. And if I don't make the World Series this year, and I don't win the World Series this year, that's okay. But guys like Sadan Rafaela, Marcelo Mayer, Roman Anthony, Willier Abreu, Carlos Navaez, I want to see them get playoff experience, because what that's going to do is kind of do that 2014-2015 thing again, where they get the experience and then 2016 you're in the playoffs and you just go from there. That's what I think needs to happen. So I want to see them get that kind of exposure. That being said, Joe Ryan has been brought up quite a bit. He's a really good talent. And we talked about this last night. I think he's a great option for this team because he has, term.
2 years. 2 years more.
He's got two and a half years. I like that idea because you're not just getting a rental. I just don't understand what the Twins would want Jarren Duran for. He's not a guy that you would consider. I mean, he's 29 now, right? So he's not a prospect anymore. I just don't get what he does for them if they're in a rebuilding mode. And I'll add into that, if you were able to do something where you extended that deal, is it possible that your bullpen piece, could you get Johan Duran from the Twins and do a package deal of Ryan and Duran? Nick Face, you first.
I get Duran. Jarren Duran is not going to be a Twin. He's just not. It's not going to happen. I think realistically, if Duran is gone, it's going to be with San Diego. We've heard the rumblings. They apparently really want him that badly. And there was talk today, the Red Sox should hold out for Tatis and all this. That's not going to happen either, folks. So get out of your fairy tale land. What makes sense if it goes to San Diego? A name is Dylan Cease. Hasn't had a great season. Don't know if I love that, but that's at least another arm that could be some sort of a starting point. I just feel that the Red Sox, as a team, chemistry-wise, if they ripped Duran off of this team, because we know that he is a beloved figure in that clubhouse, he's not having a very good season. I want to make sure that's stated right off the beat here. He is not. And tonight was a bad night yet again. There needs to be a spark that's lit under Jarren Duran to ignite this second half for me to feel okay with keeping him right now. I keep going back and forth like a seesaw. Do I keep him today? Do I want him traded tomorrow? Well, after seeing tonight's game, I'm going to listen again. I'm listening to see what else is out there if you're going to take Jarren Duran away. This team is, again, on its highest point right now in their season. If San Diego calls right now, or the Twins call right now and say, hey, what's it going to take? And Jarren Duran's name comes in there. This clubhouse is going to be a mess. And the fan base is going to be very ticked off, especially after what you just had with Devers. And by the way, I have to say it. I don't miss Devers. I'm going to say it right now. I don't miss him. But I do like Joe Ryan. I want to make sure I say that to you, Thayer. I do like Joe Ryan. I would love Joe Ryan here on my team. But I think it just comes down to what pieces here I'm gonna feel okay with it. That's all.
Thayer, your reaction.
I hear Cease. I don't put Cease at the same level as Ryan. I see Ryan.
Oh, not at all.
Ryan is
absolutely
a two and probably like a 1B. He is the kind of guy, especially with 2 years. And when I say trade Duran for him, that's not a fair trade. We have to add more to get him. So I think some minor leaguers would be in there. I don't mind giving up some of the minor league pitchers we talk about. There's the kid in Worcester, Tolley, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. He's having a fantastic year. History tells me that anyone that the Red Sox develop, other than John Lester, and maybe I'll give you Clay Buchholz, is not going to be very good. So if it means trading one of our young pitchers, okay. Yes, please. Goodbye. I'm fine. And part of the idea with the Twins is they're dealing with some financial issues. They're looking to trade their ball club, so they're trying to reduce some of their payroll. Duran offers the same thing he would do for us. He is a spark plug. He's a guy that the Minnesota teams have always loved, those leadoff fast guys. He can play the outfield there. He'll be cheap for the longest part. So he would serve a purpose in there. He brings a guy that their fans would know. I worry a little bit about the clubhouse piece to it, but I think that they'll get through that. And sort of that idea of Cease, I wouldn't trade him there for Cease. If Cease were an option, I think I would rather just, Jim, I know you don't like the rental idea. I would just take Hauser from the White Sox, just trade him a minor leaguer for it and just sort of take that in instead of trading Duran out for another piece. And I'm not saying we just trade Duran to trade Duran. We need to get an established number one, number two, like Ryan. And the other piece that I haven't sort of been on for a while since the Devers piece. And to Nick, to your point, do I miss him right now? No, I haven't missed him against the dregs of society. When we start facing the iron, I want someone who is a proven major league hitter. And I think that's where they're going to miss Devers, really his approach and his ability. I hope that's not going to be the case, but I think somewhere down the line, we're going to say, wow, I really wish we had someone who was capable of hitting a true number one pitcher.
So I think after the All-Star break, the Red Sox have the hardest schedule of any major league team in baseball. And that's where you're going to realize whether you do or do not miss Rafael Devers. But just to give a few more informational things on Joe Ryan, again, with Dylan Cease, he's a rental. He is a free agent at the end of the season. I understand that the Padres appear to be really high on him. I think there's some chatter from Sean McAdam and some others that they're really going hard after Duran. I just don't want to get a rental for Duran. I mean, when I still have 2 or 3 years of Duran's under contract. Joe Ryan or a guy that's similar, if someone is out there that I don't know about, and it's a surprise, but it's of his caliber and he has term, I would make that trade in a heartbeat. I don't think, again, I don't understand why Minnesota would want him, but if there's other guys in the deal and they're just taking Duran to sweeten the pot, that's fine. If it's centered around Tolley, if it's centered around Richard Fitz, Hunter Dobbins, if I have to give up 2 of those pitchers and Duran and maybe either the password, whatever it might take, I'm doing that, because anytime that I think you have an opportunity to pick up a really good quality pitcher and not just an ace, but you have to go ahead and you have to try to make that happen, because you look at Garrett Crochet, what do you want? You want to trade with me for him? What do you want? Choose. It's like the Karate Kid when he showed him all the cars. Choose. Same thing with, anybody else. Chris Sale's available? Oh, he is? Okay, what do you want? Okay. Pedro's available? Really? Okay. What do you want? Here's my laundry list. Choose. And that's what I would do, because, starting pitching of good caliber doesn't grow on trees. And I've always been high on what Theo Epstein always has said. Draft and develop position players and either trade or sign pitching. He's been right more than most people have. So that's how I would attack this trade deadline. But at the end of the day, my closing argument, I do not want to trade for prospects, and I do not want to give up on this season because I'm tired of losing. That said, any closing remarks? Thayer, we'll start with you.
Yes, we need to win this series. We have played 2 outstanding games against Tampa. We have Crochet. We need to score runs tomorrow. We need to win this series. So splitting it is going to be a loss. We need to come out of this. We talked about the idea of coming out of this intense 10-game series, 8-2 minimum. I'm thinking we have to come out of it 9-1 now.
Nick, same question to you. Your closing thoughts.
We were talking last night that tonight was going to be a loss, and then we were hoping it would go 3 or 4. And now we actually have an opportunity to sweep the Rays to head into the All-Star break. That's just amazing. It's amazing to even have to say that. You got Crochet going tomorrow. The biggest thing that you need to look for him is, again, getting his approach back. Getting him on track to not have to finesse and not have to shake off catchers and all this jazz. It's going to be a test here, rather, to see what happens with Crochet. Get him back on track and then finish off on Sunday with a solid Bayo start. We'll be in great shape.
To be 10-0 in your last 10 games going into the All-Star break, is so wonderful, but the cynic Red Sox fan to me worries about the second half, because it would be typical for them to be 10 wins in a row and then come out of the gate 0-4, you know, or something stupid like that. So I worry about that. It's just me and my typical cynical Red Sox, because I've been following this team for way too long.
Just but I like Nick, to your comment that the other day, I'm sorry. Game's at 4 o'clock tomorrow. You're going to see Connor Wong catching Chris Sale.
You will.
Well, that just takes the sail out of the wind out of my sail. I don't want to see Connor Wong ever again. If that's another trade option that we could investigate, is just a DFA Connor Wong and pick up a backup catcher. You know, maybe if
I'll be happy with that. I'll be 100% happy with that.
If we kill the Rays, maybe Danny Jansen's available again. You never know. But that's going to wrap it up for tonight. I'd like to thank Thayer and Nick for being on with us. Please subscribe to our digital newsletter on RedSoxDigest.com. We have articles just about every day, recaps of the games before, the night before, and then also, too, we have a weekly publication called Red Sox Digest Weekly. And we also have a new product, which is Fenway. I keep getting the name wrong, but it goes back to the 70s, and we'll do some things in
Fenway Flashback.
I can't get that word, and I created it.
There you go.
I
think it's so cool.
But in any event, it's been a really good history lesson. If you like the history of the Red Sox or have some interest in it, to kind of recap some of those great memories, that's a great read as well. So I'd like to thank everybody again for being on. Please go ahead and listen to this again on Apple, Spotify, Substack, or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great night, everybody, and go Red Sox. Let's sweep this sucker. Good night.